Hey, it's me, Richie T. Thank you so much for downloading The Cultural Hall. This is the episode with Kirby Hayborn. Happened a little while ago, so he's not coming to town this weekend, but wanted to share this with you because we thought it was such an awesome interview. Remember, you can always post your feedback at theculturalhall.com, or you can find us on Facebook by searching The Cultural Hall, or you can follow us at Twitter by going at The Cultural Hall. Hope you enjoy this episode of, yep, you guessed it, The Cultural Hall.
I don't know, like 100, I think. Hello?
Hello, Kirby.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Kirby.
It's Richie and Lauren with The Cultural Hall. How are you?
Is that really what it's called?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well,
thank you.
We could be a bit rowdy.
Yeah.
That's what you do in The Cultural Hall.
We're a little bit irreverent, as it were.
Irreverent sort of a way.
Right now, my arms not folded.
What?
Can you believe it?
You're not setting an example for the sunbeams.
Yeah. Well, when I almost lost a finger being a sunbeam, I decided I was a little bit past that. Did you do that? The old sunbeam, bump your chair up and almost lose a finger?
Jump up. Yeah.
We didn't.
Well, let's just get right into it. You can hear us all right, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. On the phone with us, all the way from what part of California are you in, Kirby?
I'm in northern Los Angeles.
Okay. I was just in San Diego last week, which isn't northern Los Angeles.
No, it's...
but, you know, same
that's
state.
That's the other northern
same
Los
state.
Angeles.
Yeah, it's California.
It's
good.
California.
It's the same state. I was in Yosemite. That's northern L.A.
Oh, San Francisco.
Is that...
yeah, Redwood Forest.
Yeah, sure. Right outside L.A., of course.
Yeah.
People, if you don't know, and I would be really surprised to find out someone who didn't, or it would at least not recognize your face. Kirby Hayborn, if you've seen, you got the Singles Ward, mm-hmm. You got the Singles Ward
the
2,
RM.
The RM, you got the work and the story, Saints and Soldiers, maybe my favorite one that you ever did. I think
that was a great one.
I don't know that it made the best 2 years. Also, another great. What's of all the different films that you've done? What's the favorite one that you've been in?
Good question.
That is a good question. Wow, you're a journalist, Richie.
I'm getting right into it, and then we'll back off a little
right
bit.
Yeah, to the meat. we got to pace ourselves.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
You know, I say this, and it sounds canned, but I have a dog in the backyard.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I love dogs.
That was probably my favorite one because dealing with animals is you really learn about who you are.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed every single one of them. I'm just
come on. Don't every single
then
one.
I have a big butt.
Okay.
It was a great experience doing Saints and Soldiers. That was the appreciation for vets and people that protect mm-hmm. our country really, really increased for me.
Would you say that's one of your most popular, I mean, most well-known? I think people kind of know that film. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I have a lot of people come up to me, say, do that funny thing from Best 2 Years.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. So I would say it's one of those two.
Okay.
They're probably not doing asking you to do that funny thing from Saints and Soldiers.
Do you know what? I was in Thailand and we were walking around the markets, you know, buying all this, you know, junk.
Your goods.
Junk. Yeah. The goods, the fake goods. And there were all these pirated videos and there was the Best 2 Years.
As
in
one
Thailand.
Of them?
As one of them. Yeah. So there you go. Well
that's,
done.
That's
you made
awesome.
It to
I've
Thailand.
Been pirated.
Yeah.
And speaking, I should bring this up, and speaking of Pirates of the Great Salt Lake.
Oh, that was a ball, man. I love that one.
Which I went and saw that movie on preview night up in Ogden. I braved the winter storm that was that night and drove up there and saw it and actually wrecked my car on the way back from the Pirates of Great Salt Lake.
You wrecked
Oh, man.
Yeah. But,
you were cursed.
Well,
how did that happen?
It was snowy on the road. Nothing that Kirby is necessarily
sure?
to blame for. I was thinking
this is your chance maybe to really kind of let him know.
There is an open lawsuit though that Richie's suing me because of it.
Yeah, which is how I was able to get Kirby on the phone. I'm like, listen, Kirby,
it's part of the agreement. Really want to settle outside of court.
Yes, yeah.
You were going to do this phone call.
So Kirby, he's from born and raised in Salt Lake, right, Sandy?
super close. I was born in a suburb of Salt Lake, Evanston, Wyoming.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which it really is. We would come down to the Cottonwood Mall before... Is it still there?
No, no. The Cottonwood Mall doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, that was the thing. You'd drive the 80 miles into town, you know, once a month, get all your supplies, and then go back. We would barter in alcohol and fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, that sounds like Evanston.
That's what Evanston is.
That's real. I was just there last week. My kid was at scout camp and drove through Evanston.
And did you buy some fireworks?
Yeah, of course. People make that joke, but that's what that town
is for.
Really is. There is.
That's their economy, right?
Where did your kid go to scout camp?
Camp Tomahawk.
Tomahawk? That's where I went.
Yeah, I went to Frontier, which was the one that I think burned down when some kids made an illegal fire out of the off bug spray and something
illegal
else.
Fire. Yeah. Or just bought some illegal
That's
fire.
That's what you do at scout camp. Yeah, so I was born in Evanston. I lived there till I was about 12 years old, and
then
I moved to Sandy. And went to a rival of Hillcrest High.
That would be
Alta. Anybody that went to Hillcrest? Recently?
Yeah, I went to Hillcrest High School.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Hillcrest High School, that's not famous for any sports, but our choir is really good.
Your choir is top notch.
And
Glee is actually based on you, right?
Yeah.
Every character, you are Glee.
Yes. I am. I love that show. No, I. Well, Alta, though, the thing that I was always jealous of Alta was you guys had the ballroom dance company.
Oh, and they were world-renowned. Yeah. Or renowned.
You didn't get into any of that, though, did you?
I didn't, no. I did a lot of the plays and
you were student body president, right?
I was, yes.
And actually...
Good job.
Yeah, see, we got Wikipedia right in front of us.
I know how to use Google.
That's great. I didn't know that was part of my thing on
Oh,
Google.
Come on. You added it. No, just kidding.
To serve as kind of an introduction to people, since I still don't feel like we maybe have done the best job introducing, let me just read. It's just a couple paragraphs.
Well, this is still part of the intro. Okay.
Yeah. Hayborn graduated from Alta High School in 95, where he was student body president. He served a full-time mission for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the Dominican Republic. And then he later graduated from the University of Utah with a degree in economics, which we'll visit that, because I'm betting you probably not doing a whole lot with an economics degree, or maybe more than we would think. He's Kirby is both an actor and a musician. He's released several CDs on which he sings and plays the guitar. However, Hayborn first became widely popular in the Mormon culture after filming The R.M., and then it goes on to something else we'll get into in just a minute. Kirby generated some controversy, so we're going to get into that, too.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. That controversial Kirby Hayborn.
Cultural Hall equals controversy. We love it.
Yeah.
Is this
all on Wikipedia?
Just kidding. We really don't.
Yeah, that's all on Wikipedia. And then
that's pretty accurate stuff.
Kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
How that happens?
It's on the internet, so.
It's like someone's watching you.
It's true. When did it say? I know some places it has my birth date wrong. When
it
was
says
I born?
October 8th of 77.
That's incorrect.
It's not right?
I'm a bicentennial baby.
Bicentennial 75. Would make you the 76.
76.
Oh, 76.
I had to think of what bicentennial meant for a minute. I'm like, all right, that's not Roman numerals.
Exactly. So that makes everything on that page invalid.
God, he's not Mormon, and he didn't go on a mission.
And he didn't cause any controversy.
Kirby and I also, just because I want to name drop, we were in the singles second ward together.
Mm-hmm.
We were.
Yeah. That was my movie premiere, Kirby. That was the first time I'd ever been in a movie.
And have you been in a movie since?
And now look at you.
Yeah, I've been in about equal parts in other movies since then, where I say things like, yeah, how come? And that's literally one of the lines in the movie that I have with Kirby. I have one other one, but I can't remember.
You are good at that line.
But
you say it a lot.
Raising my hand. How come? Perfect. Yes,
that's
brilliant.
Perfect. You're brilliant.
Brilliant.
Kirby, where did you get your start? Why did you decide you wanted to be an actor?
I think growing up Mormon, you do road shows and you do everything. Mm-hmm. When we were in Wyoming, my family would do road shows every year and – I came out of the womb singing and dancing. And in grade school, I did clown class, and I would say I've been doing it my whole life. I'm also a middle child of five kids.
Oh, welcome.
And so I didn't get attention.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, and then and I did community theater and stuff, and then in middle school and high school, I did all the plays and everything. And then I was pursuing music pretty heavily.
With just the, I know you play the guitar. Do you also play other instruments?
I do, yeah. I play the piano. Those are the main things.
Okay.
Really? Where
and
did...
then I pretend to do other things. So I just kept, I thought that I was going to be a musician, so I went on my mission. I had a band that we were pretty successful. We played a lot. And
what was the name of the band?
The band was Bentley.
Okay.
And we played everywhere. We did the Olympics in 2002. We did the Metals Plaza.
Wow.
Very
played
cool.
A bunch of events. And
what happened to Bentley? What happened to Bentley?
Just infighting type stuff, you know. And then I started pursuing acting. We did a play up in Park City. And I thought, oh, I haven't done this in a long time. I hadn't done it since high school. It had been 4 years. And I thought, oh, I'll pursue this. And I got an agent and just was really fortunate. I booked my first thing I booked was an Idaho lottery commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
To buy the lottery tickets, that kind of thing?
I love those commercials.
To buy the lottery tickets,
I just
yeah.
moved from Idaho. I just lived there for two years. Those are
oh,
some
great.
Brilliant commercials.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then that same summer, my son was born, and I booked Singles Ward, and I quit my job selling insurance.
It was already at that point lucrative enough for you to be like, hey, I'm done, let's go this way, or was it kind of a,
no.
a
more
thing
so
of
you
faith.
Needed a focus.
I did it as a focus. I thought,
okay.
I can either keep one foot in and be safe, or I can take the leap of faith and jump in with both feet and not look back. And it's been great
okay.
because of that. I think you are determined, and I've spent years working up to that point and doing what I needed to do to be able to make a living at it. And I thought I either have to go whole hog or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you went whole hog, obviously. Your wife? That's got to be pretty amazing for her to be like, "What you're what?" And now
yeah.
I'm gonna wait. What?
Yeah, I mean, and you had a child then.
I know. Yeah, he was just a couple months old, and she had quit her job because we wanted her to be a full-time mom.
Mm-hmm.
I married the greatest woman in the world, not just because she doesn't turn a blind eye to me working, but she supports completely and is excited. And we knew each other in high school. We dated in high school. And
Let me ask you this. Were you guys cast opposite of each other in a musical in high school, and you had like that faux relationship where it's like, well, our characters kiss,
Richie's
so maybe we should kiss.
Right now.
So now maybe we're dating. So now our characters are dating. Now they got married. Boom. Was it that kind of thing?
It was so close to that.
Oh!
We did do plays and stuff together, but we were never cast opposite each other. We just were really good friends, and so I think she knew I was going to do something with the arts. We thought I was going to do music. I actually was pursuing a music theory degree at the U
mm-hmm.
until we were about a year into marriage, and my dad said, "There's no way you can support a family with a music degree."
Aren't parents great about that?
Yeah. So I went from a straight A student to a passing student by the skin of my teeth.
Economics. Okay. Well, you did all right, Kirby. We'll make this a pass fail class, and we'll kind of pass you through, so you don't have to come back and do this again.
That's kind of how it was. Like by the time I got out of the music program, and it was just, oh, I need to get a business type degree. Economics, mm-hmm. I was interested. I had taken a class, and I enjoyed it. I like math and that type of stuff. But I rarely went to class. There were a couple of classes I didn't even buy the textbook, which was Marxist economics, which I should have read the book, because, I mean, Marx had some great ideas on economics, but you need to know what he thought. It was honestly random. It's a fill-in-the-bubble test. I'd make designs, and I'd pass. I've been a very lucky person my whole life.
You're like, Abba, Dabba, Cabba, Dabba, Baba. I always did that with the Scantrons. I'm like, I got nothing. Let's see what I can do. Cab. Yeah. What else rhymes with cab? Dab.
What?
When you're filling in the Scantron bubbles.
I do not know what you're talking about.
Really? No, the Scantron.
Because she was smart, and she actually studied.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about that later.
Well, Kirby, the way that this podcast works is it's broken up into three blocks. So we're gonna take a break now. As we actually listen to this, there will be a bell. You won't hear a bell right now. We're gonna go into our second block after we hear the bell, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some more stuff. All right?
Great. Thanks.
Does your Utah business need help navigating the social media landscape? Contact Moz Concepts for help developing Facebook applications, custom websites, and building your social media fan base. Visit Moz Concepts online at mozconcepts.com. That's mozconcepts.com.
All right. Welcome back. It's now the second block. We hope you got a chance to talk to your buddies out in the hall. And now you've made your way back to the podcast, the second block of the Cultural Hall. And joining with us in this segment still, Kirby Hayborn, born October 8th, 1976.
Bicentennial.
Yeah. Wikipedia, not 1977. Okay.
And not 75 was Lauren, Payne, which I figured out. But.
So
I was stuck in the hall because the librarian was talking to me.
Don't they take forever?
They do that.
They
do that on
I hadn't
purpose.
Returned the chalk and the eraser. I thought that you didn't even need to sign out for that stuff, but you do.
No, you absolutely. They when you go
like to keep so they have someone to talk to.
When you go in for tithing settlement, they pull up your library record and they'll be like, Brother Hayborn. You got that chalk and eraser still? That'll be 11% for you next year,
that's
pal.
That's why I'm not a full tithe payer, because...
You have overdue books to the church library?
Exactly.
That's why I stopped going. I just was embarrassed. I needed that quad, and I just didn't bring it back.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Thank you so much for doing this. You know, it's funny to me, Kirby, because I know your little brother, Brady... And and so as I'm talking to you, I have to consciously stop and think, it's not Brady, it's Kirby. And as I was going through some stuff, I found, and I'll have to send this to you, an old picture of he and I in high school. And so it's a conscious thought for me to not be calling you your brother's name. So Brady. I apologize if that comes out.
That's an honor. He's a great kid. We loved each other growing up and super close.
And he did a great deal of acting, too. I've kind of lost touch with him since then, but...
He did, yeah.
Anything Goes was what I remember that he
funny,
did.
He did that. He did every play, too, in musical and high school and middle school. But there are a lot of times if I see myself on a short on the internet or in a commercial or sometimes in film, I'll see something and I go, oh, that's something Brady would do. And it's funny. I steal from him.
Yeah. So did your whole family, did all of the siblings... act? I mean...
They're all, and I wonder if it's just from my dad and then the way my mom was. My mom was very strict, and if you could make, we call her Mare, because that's, her name's Marilyn.
Oh, okay.
If you could make Mare laugh, then that was awesome.
The pinnacle, you knew, man, I nailed it.
That's cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Around the dinner
you learn
table.
Great stuff from your dad. That I've passed on to my son that my wife doesn't find funny, just like my mom didn't. Like pulling your finger and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
It's hilarious, sweetheart.
I know. That's, in fact, just last night I was telling my son, he's 10, I said, because he was asking about dating and why it looks like they're biting each other's face when they're kissing. And it's just funny, innocent, sweet stuff. Anyway, so I said, if you're on a date and you can tell it's already going south, just towards the end of it, just say, hey, could you pull my finger? And then I said, you will give her such a great story. Like, this date was so bad, at the end of it, this guy asked me to pull his finger. And I said, she will have that story for the rest of her life. My wife did this thing. No, don't you dare. No.
Is that a story taken from your youth?
I wish. That would have been a great,
that's
a great thing.
Did you ever burn out on dates like that before you got married?
Oh, yeah. But you have great stories then.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd be in the middle of it, and I would be enjoying it, just thinking, this is awesome. This is fantastic.
I have one in particular that I remember. It was probably 20 minutes into it, and it was one of these, you know, Mormon marathon dates that starts at like noon and goes until midnight.
Yeah.
And I remember 20 minutes into it being like, I've got nothing left. And even further, I don't care about you at all, you know? And so it then became for me, for the rest of the 11 hours and 40 minutes, to entertain everyone else there and have that woman hate me so much. Here's the best part. I don't see any of the rest of the people on that date ever, but I see that girl.
Oh, do you?
At least weekly, because of different things that I do with my job and different things that she does with her job, where it's just like, hey, what's up, horrible date, worst date of my life.
How is your relationship with her now?
It's still the same. I look at her and I'm like, I don't care. She's like, neither. In fact, it's actually kind of become a joke in that it's like, I don't care about you. I don't care about you either.
Wait, have you discussed this with her?
Oh, yeah.
How you felt?
I said, that was the worst, and it's because you're a horrible human being. She felt similarly as I had picked on her.
She'll be on a guest.
We'll get her on in the future.
Episode.
Yeah, get her on.
I'll be
She'll
calling
be
her.
Next.
Don't you worry.
She's now, she has since become inactive. All because of you, Richie.
She's a librarian.
Yeah. So Kirby, let's get into this. Let's get into the drama. You know, being a Mormon person, whether you like it or not, being a Mormon person, we lean to our famous Mormon people, kind of hold them up on a pedestal, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
And a couple years ago, there was some controversy with you and deciding to appear in a Miller Lite beer commercial. I remember when this came out, but for those who may not remember this or know anything about it, give us a bit about it.
You just said it all.
Yeah.
You're Wikipedia, man. Yeah.
Well, I got this right in front of me.
I want to know, you know, what was it like to go ahead and do that? I, you know, why did you choose to do it? And what was it like, you know, post having it up there? And what were people saying? What was it like being in your shoes?
When you're doing, people think that you make a lot of money doing Mormon films. I just finished a pretty big film for Fox just 2 weeks ago.
Pimp It, what's it called?
And it's The Three Stooges. It's a Farrelly Brothers comedy.
Okay.
These Three Stooges, I've never heard of them. Are they?
They're these three guys that plumb.
Okay, they're plumbers.
They're plumbers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I know.
And that's it? They're plumbers.
They're talking dogs.
Hmm.
That's great, Kirby.
Yes. So, yes. Really great.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It came about because I actually did another beer commercial. But the Farrelly Brothers, they're the guys that did Dumb and Dumber, There's Something About Mary,
yeah.
Stuck on You, Heartbreak Kid. They're comedic giants in the film world.
Yeah.
And they were shooting some commercials, and we fell in love with each other, and because of that, I'm now in a big, huge film.
That is
Curly.
Excellent.
Are you Curly?
No.
Mo. Are you Mo?
I'm not one of the Stooges.
So is it like a fourth Stooge? Do you consider yourself to be the fourth Stooge then in the film kind of?
I'm in relationship, like, Y is to the vowels, and sometimes Y.
Okay.
Okay. Wait, hold on, hold on. Let me think about. Okay, got it.
She got it.
E-I-O-U and sometimes Y.
She's like, Y's not a vowel? Wait a minute. Hold on. Wikipedia. Oh, it isn't.
It is, and it was born in 77. Interesting.
Well, so that film, I bet, would probably pay considerably more than a Mormon film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My whole point is just the per diem that I made on that, the daily allowance to get food, I'm made more on that than a bunch of the Mormon films combined, you know.
Great comparison,
They don't pay well. So people think you have a choice, really, which I guess you do. You always have a choice, but
there's always agency,
you're supporting
Kirby.
Your family. Yeah, there always is. And you always have to keep your agency happy. That's the agency you're talking about, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, you got to support your family, and this opportunity came along. On commercials, you make enough to move on, survive for another 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Orson Scott Card wrote a great article about this whole controversy.
Did he?
Which is a great article. But it's true, you know. Did I think that this commercial was going to catapult me into the stars and make me bigger, or that I was trying to get away from my good roots? No, it was just a job that came along that mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to get cast in. I was fortunate enough to make money to feed my family and survive for the next 6 months until the next thing came along.
Let me ask you this. In the commercial, you're, as I recall, at least this, the original one, not this recent one that you've done, you're not even holding a beer, as I remember. Is that right?
No, it's just us. It was a pretty cool shoot. And the other guy, we're actually good friends. His name is Ted. We met on the set. He has never drank or smoked either. He's not LDS, but...
But you're working on him?
He's a clean kid. Yeah, I'm working on him, trying to get him to drink. Is that what you're saying?
No, no. Well, he should commit one way or another. Either be Mormon or just, you know...
Yeah.
No, I don't know what I meant
send
by that.
Sending the missionaries over. That's what you meant. You're working
that's,
on
it. Oh, that's it, yeah.
So,
I mean, it just goes... You don't know who or what or... It's all... Everybody looks at it as an acting job, and you're fortunate to get work, and you're fortunate that it even airs.
Mm-hmm.
I've shot a bunch of commercials where you go out and audition, and you get called back, and maybe you book it, maybe you don't, and then you do book it, and then they end up not airing it, so you don't make any money. And mm-hmm. then the ones that actually make it to air, you're lucky.
Yeah.
So did the controversy, did you expect the controversy, or were you surprised by kind of what happened afterwards, after this commercial was filmed?
You know, I wasn't surprised. My heart hurt that people were making such a big deal about it. It actually made, like, the equivalent of WB here. It's like, what is that, like Channel 30?
Yeah,
there.
Channel 30, mm-hmm. like a, I would say a UHF station, but that that means nothing
something
to anyone.
Like
I've got it.
Yeah, I know. But it was like that. Their news aired a thing, and it wasn't that a Mormon does a beer commercial. It's that Mormons are rejecting, are lashing out at their own, you know? So that's what made me feel the worst, is that people were making Mormons look bad by being so vocal about a thing that in the rest of the world, nobody even gives a second thought. They don't even know the name of the actor that's in the beer commercial or whatever, yeah. unless mm-hmm. it's Ben Stiller or Will Ferrell, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's James.
So that's
James Anderson holding that beer there in the back of the commercial. I can't. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Right. When it's 2% of the world population, that looks at drinking as extremely the way that we do, It looks bad for the rest of Mormons to be saying, oh, how dare he? And it makes people look on Mormons as being shallow. And
mm-hmm.
so I had a lot of people talk to me about that, like, oh, wow, like these Mormons are so mean. How do you handle those Mormons? And then so there's mm-hmm. a lot of me not being apologetic for them, but just, you know, I love my religion. I live it. And that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. And I think you're right, you know. Being an actor and actress is kind of a glorified career, and I think that as people who don't know what that's like, they don't know it's just, you know, an everyday job almost, all in a day's work. Look
right.
at you really being able to choose what you do, and to you, as it being your career, you know, it's, like I said, all in a day's work. It's, you know, I need
right.
to do this to feed my family. I need to do...
And so it's just, you look at the way the church has handled different things, like the episode of Big Love that had a temple scene in it or whatever. There's something about the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the way the church reacts, and they just come out and say, guys, you're at an 11, let's bring it down to a 6. Talking
yeah.
to the mm-hmm. members at large, say, don't make waves. The more waves you make, the more people are going to look at this and say, oh, wait, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly, I think, the way that we should all react. If something comes along like that, don't make waves about it. Just quietly, just stand up for what you believe in. But, you know, I love the way the church did that about Big Love. Just don't boycott. Don't look crazy, because that's what the media wants to see.
Yeah, they love a spectacle.
They're crazy Mormons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let me ask. Go ahead.
So it's. I was just going to say, with Peter Farrelly, one of the Farrelly brothers, obviously, he called me up after we had done the second commercial together. The first one was not the Farrelly brothers, but the second one was. And he said, "Well, I was looking up on the internet, and I'm so sorry that there are so many people that are angry at you for doing a commercial." And he said, "Are you okay? And
are you all right, Kirby?"
So then I'm having to apologize for the few 2% of people, local Mormons, that went crazy saying he has sinned, he's going to hell, he's justifying it. What if he were to be in a porn? That's the exact same thing.
And were people really saying all of this?
They were.
Wow. Because I can picture some people questioning, oh, should Mormon be in a beer commercial? I mean,
right,
it's kind of pushing the limits. But to say, porn is the same thing, or he's going to hell, that's going in a completely different.
It's like the Nazis, Kirby.
Never,
I'm surprised they would never
watch a movie I was in ever again.
Yeah, well, and I know because I'm a fan of the Kirby Hayborn. I noticed that there was some things here, some billboards that you were removed off of, and it seemed to be about the same time.
That specific one, I'm almost positive it came down because of that. But there were cutouts of me and Mr. Mac and stuff with that thing, with that suit, that same picture. They did all that without my consent. Right as soon as I started, right after Singles Ward, I made my $2, and then it was like, okay, what do we do next? I was approached by this stock photography company saying, we'll pay you $50 for a whole hour to take a bunch of stock pictures of you. And my wife and I said, $50? No way!
Dude, they'll give you $50?
So I went down, and they took the pictures, and then years later, all these movies come out with me as a missionary, and so that company they went on the stock photography website, and it was, I can't believe Kirby Hayborn, we can get this for $200, have all the rights, and so they did not consult me at all. So actually I had fought that with my manager and stuff, but you know, once I had signed, I received my $50 check, I had signed away those rights, and so I was actually really happy that that came down, because
of the commercial.
They didn't use that stock picture because it was, oh, look, that kid looks like a cute missionary. It was, oh, that's Kirby Hayborn. He's the RM. He's
absolutely taking advantage of you.
Did you receive, it's called hate mail, right? But letters from people, you know, saying how they were upset?
Via carrier pigeon?
Yeah.
Via carrier pigeon or
I received no letters. I got a couple of emails, and I'm getting them again right now, but I let people voice their opinion. At first it was, how dare you judge me like this? You don't know.
You don't know where I'm at.
What type of father I am, what type of home teacher, what I do in church. And a lot of the people, you can tell the things that they're saying are because they are having a problem with stuff, you know.
Sure. I get you.
And so it's easier to lash out at someone like me. So anyway, now, at the beginning I wanted to just email them back and, who do you think you are, and you don't even know who I am. And I look at how the church responds to stuff, and the church just lets stuff hit, and unless it's actual defamation, you don't necessarily need to, just let the person get it out, because there's no way I'm going to convince someone otherwise.
Right.
Sure.
They already formed the opinion. Anything I say or do, it's not going to change their opinion. And they're just going to bring me down into this battle, and it's not worth it. Yeah. I like to be happy.
That
like
makes
this
three
bird
of us.
That just lighted on our fence. Yeah. What a perfect timing.
Let me give you a little bit of advice on the emails back to people. Address it, Dear Governor Boggs, even regardless of, of who the person is. Just, Dear Governor Boggs, and then whatever your response is.
Yeah, I like that.
anyway,
I like that. But, I mean, we all do. I mean, you know, you work for X96 and
sure.
You're Mormon. That's the most liberal station in, you know, and I'm sure there's stuff that's said on X96 that you don't agree with, but it's still your job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the name of the show itself, the Radio From Hell show,
it's not
typically found that it's like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm sure that place is running over with Mormons. No, certainly
yeah.
not. But it gives me an interesting opportunity to share the gospel. And coming up in the third block, that's what we want to talk to you about. So ring the bell. Here we go. Third block, back with the Cultural Hall in just a minute. You having fun?
I am, dude. This is great.
I love this.
But I agree. I'm glad we're going to talk about that. Because you do, when you're surrounded by non-Mormons, you do get the opportunity to share.
Yeah. You do.
And they look at you as a normal, regular person that's not crazy, well, that isn't going to send an angry email
and it's the about whole,
someone that drinks.
Yeah, and it's the whole Mormon ads that they're doing. They're taking these regular people, because they realize that's the best missionary work you can do, is just have regular people doing normal things out there saying, I'm a Mormon. You know, it's kind of the
same idea.
Yeah.
Don't waste it.
Okay. Seriously.
Pace ourselves.
Jeez. And congrats on that movie. That's freaking rad.
Yeah, when does that come out, Kirby?
We just finished filming, and it was awesome, man. I was in it with Jane Lynch from Glee.
Who studied at Second City. That's my other secret indulgence. I would up and move in that place if my wife would let me.
and Sofia Vergara from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was awesome.
We should talk about that a little bit more later, too, then. It's great.
All right. So let's get back into it. Here we go. And welcome back. It is the Cultural Hall Podcast. Find us online at theculturalhallpodcast.com. And at Facebook, you can just find The Cultural Hall. We post all the stories that we'll talk about here later there. And also we'll find the videos that we've been talking about with Kirby and be able to post them there. So you can make your own decision on what you think about those commercials. Mm-hmm. As for me and my house, I support the Kirby.
That's a scripture, isn't it?
It's right there. It's right there next to, I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it.
Right. And Diet Coke is okay.
Yeah, and that generations will bow down because we lived in the time of President Hinckley or whatever that quote was.
I'm writing
was.
All these down, by the way. I'm taking notes.
You remember that quote, right, Kirby?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I was in seminary.
Yeah.
And scripture mastery.
A silent hush will come over the crowd. I've been in sacrament meetings since then where people have read that quote and said it's, you know, attributed it to whatever. And you just feel bad for the poor bishop who then after that speaker has to get up and go, yeah, that quote's, that's not real. That's not really a quote. So we can't perpetuate that as a myth. So let's get into this. Let's talk a little bit about being a Mormon, being in Hollywood. In some of the past podcasts, we've talked a lot about, you know, you got Mitt Romney and you got John Huntsman, who's kind of Mormon. And no, I'm just kidding. He's a great Mormon, but he certainly takes a different approach than how Mitt Romney embraces his Mormonism.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, but it seems like it now is more open, more discussed, more it's a Mormon-friendly time. So how do you or do you express your Mormonism with other people? Like, for example, in this Three Stooges movie, I mean, do you come up and say, in my past, I was Elder Hayborn from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, if you want to talk about it at all, or how do you do it?
Pass out Book of Mormons? Yeah, what do you do?
No, it's inevitable. On every set, everybody knows. Pete and Bobby Fairley knew from the beginning that I was Mormon, and they have Mormon friends, and they like that. And so by the time I was on set, everybody knew. And so everybody's just excited to be around me. And so you served a mission. What was that like? And you speak a different language. And then I always make sure I tell them that And I do. I love my religion. I love that it's a difficult religion to live, and I think that I'm a better person because of it, because of its difficulty.
What do you think, if I can pry a little bit, because certainly there are, I think you peg it accurately when you say that it's hard. It is a hard thing to be a Mormon person. If you don't mind, and if you do, I completely understand, but what do you think is the hard thing, first of all, and then second of all, what's the thing that you absolutely love about the Mormon religion?
As I learn more about the church and as I understand charity more, that's where it's hard. Where it's, mm-hmm. And I think going through the experiences that I have through these films and commercials and angry people and happy people, and I'm realizing it's harder to live the way that Jesus taught us to live. It's harder to look at someone and look past their piercing or their tattoo or whatever it is that I may have grown up thinking, oh, that means that they're a sinner, and looking at them and actually loving them first, mm-hmm. not worrying about where they come from. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the hardest thing. Having charity is the absolute hardest thing. And once you have that, then everything else is easy. You look at, I had the opportunity to meet President Hinckley and President Monson.
Oh,
and
wow.
They had both seen Saints and Soldiers, and I got a lot of guff from that, from Mormons, that their testimonies were shaken because I smoked in it. And mm-hmm. And you know that President Monson, he made the comment, you know, he knew I was Mormon.
Sure.
And we were at the premiere of The Work and the Glory, the big epic movies. And he came up to me and he said, I really enjoyed your performance in Saints and Soldiers. And he didn't look that, oh, he's a Mormon that was smoking in it. He looked at me as, oh, that he did a great, because, you know,
it's
President Monson loves film and loves the theater and stuff. And so he was looking at it not as a judgmental person, but as a, you know, supporting me and excited for the performance I did.
That's a really great story. Thanks for sharing that.
What about, yeah. What do you love? What's the thing you love? Like, for me, it's early church history, 1830 to 1840. That's my passion about the church.
Right now I'm reading Rough Stone Rolling.
It's a good one.
Book on Joseph Smith, and I'm learning, I love finding stuff that made people fall away, and you know, that the prophet Joseph Smith he enjoyed to laugh, and he enjoyed joking and wrestling and being rowdy. That makes me love him even more. I don't like mm-hmm. that we romanticize him and almost idolize him, that he can't be touched and that he can't be fallible because he was a prophet of God. And I love that too. I love the early history and reading this. I love finding things right now. So many things ring true because of little truths that I've learned throughout my life. There's a baker named Peter Reinhardt, and he's written a bunch of bread books. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, but past couple of months I've gotten into bread making.
Oh, really?
And yeah,
like,
and
a bread, the bread stone, that whole thing,
everything. But it's I don't have a bread maker, and I don't want to. I like getting into the dough and feeling and kneading it. But Peter Reinhardt, you should look him up. He's got there are 12 steps to making bread, and on each step there's symbolism in that rings true with the gospel. And so, like, now even when I take the sacrament, because of what I've read from this Christian guy, Peter Reinhardt, about baking bread, like, I understand more about why Jesus chose the bread to represent stuff. Like, it's so amazing that in order for the bread to reach its fullest potential, you have to add the yeast, the enlivener, something to make it live, which is symbolic mm-hmm. of Christ. And the only way that this bread can reach its full potential, and you liken the bread to us, the only way the bread can reach its full potential is it's absolutely necessary for the yeast to die in the oven in order for the bread to reach its highest glory.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
And it's so amazing. So since I've understood that, like, it's that's what I love about the gospel, is that it's so true and little things that you learn along the way. So now when I take the bread and I taste the nuttiness from whatever bread they brought, or enjoying the flavor of the bread, understanding that the symbolism there, that this bread reached its full potential just like I can because my Savior sacrificed for me. That's what I love about the gospel.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned home teacher. You're a home teacher. Is that weird for any of like your home teaching families where it's like, hey, it's the guy from the Miller Lite commercial coming to teach me in my house?
No, you know, people that know me and that are in my ward are so excited for anything that I get. And when the first commercial came out, the bishop jokingly in the hall said, hey, I've heard you've got a lot of guff about the commercial. Do we need to talk?
Yeah.
And he's just joking. And he saw me kind of get heavy, and he goes, oh, no, no, I'm just kidding. No, okay?
No, I was making a joke. It's a bishop joke. Oh, these never go over very well.
They never go over, yeah. Yeah. So I've got great support group. I consider myself, I don't want to say blessed, but I guess I can in the cultural hall.
Yeah.
I'm the most blessed actor, I think, out of anybody, because I not only have the state of Utah cheering for me. You know, there's some that want me to fail, but
sure,
you don't bother with those. But there are people, I've got a whole state cheering for me. And on top of that, I've got a whole religion that is behind me and wants me to succeed and make a difference.
Yes.
And I feel that, and I love that, and I know that I found success because I have that huge support from the greatest people on the earth.
Yeah.
Do you have an additional calling besides being a home teacher?
I do. I teach a missionary prep class for the stake.
Ah.
That I love. And I also am Cub Master.
Really?
Wow, you are doing it all.
Well, he's in the mission field. He has to have more than one calling.
That's true.
Yeah. And I love it. My wife is the assistant Cub Master, and I've been Cub Master for the whole time my boy's been in Scouts, and I love it. I love Scouts. And it's just fun. Pack meeting is just a party. I pull out my guitar. We make up songs. And it's just I love kids anyway, and so we just have a party.
Is it hard to balance? You said you had three kids with your wife, Tricia. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Is it hard? Is it hard to balance all that? Family, yeah. Your callings, and then your job, which can be pretty intense?
No, not at all. I love it. Like, they came out to Atlanta for a week, and they hung out. And that's a thing, too. People see that I'm a happy the people that would drive us around to different places, they're not Mormons, but they see how happy we are and how they can feel the spirit around us because we are genuinely happy. And so they make comments and they say, I want that. And, you know, you look so young to have a family and yet you're so happy. You don't look tired. And no, I love it. Like today, I'll be in the house. I narrate audiobooks as well. And so I'll be in the house, and so I'll get to come out and eat lunch with everybody and be together. We go running in the morning together as a family. We're together almost sickeningly so.
How old are your kids?
My son is 10. My daughter just the day after Pioneer Day turned 8.
Okay.
And then we've got a little girl who's 2.5, almost 3.
And so you're preparing for a baptism then for your little girl?
Yep.
How cool
is that? Actually, on Brady's birthday, my daughter will get baptized.
Oh. And when is that, Richie?
That would be
August 13th.
August 13th.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Richie knows.
Yeah, August 13th, 1977.
So we're super close. We're always together, and so it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy.
That wasn't the answer I was expecting when you said, no, it's not hard to keep the balance, because I think most people in this day and age, keeping a balance is almost everyone's, it's on everyone's mind. You know, how do I keep the balance?
I think you have to want to. People want an easy out. People say, is it hard to stay to your values and stay Mormon in the entertainment industry? And I say it's not any harder than if you worked in radio or if you worked selling insurance, mm-hmm. You either will live your religion or you won't.
I love that.
You can find an excuse to not. And I think it's the same thing. You can find an excuse to not want to go out on a date with your wife. You can always find an excuse. That's the easy way.
I can find one. She just won't let me use it. That was...
But that goes back to also to why I love the religion. If you're really living the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are finding ways to improve yourself, to be a better husband and father, and be selfless. Mm-hmm. My wife loves to read a lot, and she read the Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, we'll have to talk.
Perfect example of... Well, it's a perfect example. My wife didn't like it because it was a very, instead of focusing on other people, when you start feeling overwhelmed, the Savior never said, what about me? It was always, I'm going to serve someone else.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you find more happiness when you're out there busy serving your family or serving your neighbors. And you don't get that depression, I think, if you're out serving. When you feel depressed, do service.
You're not
thinking about yourself.
Someone once sent me a quote on my mission, and it said, when you stand in need of comfort, comfort someone else. And I've always remembered that. I love that.
That's exactly it. So that was why it didn't ring true with my wife, just that she felt it was very selfish to leave the family and go and do that. When
sure.
she says she could have found happiness sooner if she would have really been Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. I like the writing. How about that? I really love
yeah,
how
she liked the writing, too. She did like the writing.
I loved the writing, and I liked what she said about a few things, but we don't need to get into Eat, Pray, Love right now.
Kirby, we're going to let you go. Thank you seriously so much for being with us as this part of... The Cultural Hall. We're in our infancy, so thank you
Kirby,
for...
I like what you're doing. I like it. And you guys are great people.
Hey, I've loved what you've said today. I'm gonna go bake some bread. But really, everything you've said has been wonderful. Thank you for spending time with us today. It was
great.
It was absolutely great.
If you're not doing... Are we done recording?
Yeah, we're done
still
now.
Recording?
Yep, we're done.
If you guys want, I'm actually going to be in Draper this Friday. If you guys are around, I can... There, I'll have a couple tickets under my name if you want to go.
Nice,
okay.
Yeah.
But
yep.
don't worry like you have to or anything, but...
I'd love to.
If you want to, you guys, just say, hey, there's a ticket under Kirby Hayborn.
Yeah, I've got an email, too, so I can give you a heads up. I've got your email, rather, so I can give you a heads up if I'm coming.
Okay, cool. And then contact me anytime. I'd love to help with anything that I can.
You're awesome.
Thanks so much, Kirby.
Great. Where did you go on your mission, Laura?
Cleveland, Ohio, same as Richie, actually.
Yeah, we both went to the
we
same mission.
We were companions.
Mission.
It was crazy. Yeah. It's one of those weird things.
It was one of those
It was one of,
missions.
Those inspired things yeah. when the mission president was like, you know what?
I feel like this is going to work out.
Were you guys there at the same time?
No.
We were not. I was served in the same areas, but I was after him.
Lauren was a little handsy, so I couldn't... I couldn't handle being around her. No,
right.
Oddly enough, actually, we both served in the same mission, and then when we got home, we dated, and then I've since moved on and got married, and she's...
Is she that date you were referring to in the podcast?
Yes.
That's why she's like...
No, really, he like came up to me, and he didn't have his teeth in, and he's like, want some mint chocolate chip ice cream? And I was like...
She's like,
so intrigued by this that I was like, I'll date you for a couple months.
Yeah.
And now let's start a Mormon podcast.
That's awesome, though. That's what I love about you, Richie. You're a transformer.
Oh, you stop it.
Yeah.
I have nothing but love for you. Thank you so much for taking
Great.
Time out. I know you got a bunch of stuff going on, so we'll let you get back to it. And
Great. Thanks, guys.
And
yeah.
appreciate
so much,
it. Let us know.
Me.
If there's anything I can do, obviously, let me know. And I'll pimp your show out at Draper on my Facebook.
Oh, great.
Tell people that we just interviewed you and stuff like that. Okay?
Great.
All right, thanks.
Thanks so much, brother. You guys be good.
Thanks, Kirby.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to extend this a little bit. Kirby Hayborn there. That was awesome. What a good guy.
That was, I loved everything he said, really. I was really taking notes. I mean, I loved everything he said.
The bit about the bread, very cool. Hopefully we can get Kirby on again in the future, mm-hmm. be able to talk to him maybe after this Three Stooges movie comes out. Just, you know, what a decent guy. And I think that the thing that I loved what he said was, you're either going to live it or you're not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just... The other thing that I took from it is just take things the way the church takes things. Just the, you know,
yeah.
Let it come. You guys are about an 11, he said, and then take it back to a 6. So thanks again to Kirby Hayborn. And let's get into some news. We're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick because we don't want to make this long for anyone.
Right, I know, heaven forbid, because people, you know.
Well, people now are sitting in their seats, and they're looking on the clock in the wall, and then they're looking, they're in their seats, and looking back at the clock
and
on the wall.
And to them, I say, if you don't want to keep listening.
Yeah. And they're like, one more testimony, don't you see what time it is? Do you get that way? Do you get that way in sacrament meeting?
Oh, I do.
On Fast Sunday,
oh,
where
do.
You're like, do
well,
you not see what time
here's
it
the
is?
Thing with
I know
that,
you want
though.
To share it, I get
there
it.
There is a reason. Here's the thing, is... When you're in fast and testimony meeting, when do you feel, well, for me, I guess I should talk for me, but I think it's a theory. I think it's for everyone. When do you finally feel, oh my gosh, I really need to do this. I really need to bear my testimony. I really got to
right
get up.
Right towards the end.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so everybody is thinking that. But for me, that's why I don't bear my testimony that much. In sacrament meeting.
I would, but look at the time.
Kind of, because I know how it feels when someone gets up at when we're supposed to be singing the closing hymn or saying the closing prayer. And I'm thinking, I've got places to be, like, I don't know where, but I'm sure that I need to go get in my sweats and start setting the table for my mom's pot roast.
I encourage everyone to do it. If you feel it, I say do it. But it certainly is no secret to anyone that as soon as it gets past 5, you know, once it's like 6 or 7 past after the hour, you're going, all right, let's go. We're ready for the hymn.
It also takes me a long time because most often when I want to bear my testimony in church, it has to do with the fact that I've been really emotional recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a woman thing or
yes,
what.
Yes, it is.
So, okay. So.
No, I don't know.
So sometimes I'll decide at the beginning, oh, I feel like I should bear my testimony. But in order to get a hold of my emotions, I have to like wait. Because last time I bore my testimony was, I'm like, I've got to do
19.
This.
19.
No, it was last year.
I'm kidding.
It was this year. I was moving away from Idaho. It was in my Idaho ward this year. And I thought, I've got to go do it. And I went up at the beginning because I didn't want to wait till the end. And I was emotional. And I didn't want to be. And so it wasn't a very good testimony in my personal
You hadn't
opinion.
Had a chance to harness it.
Right.
Yeah,
there you go. Harness.
I get you. Harness
to harness,
it.
The,
harness
emotion.
The emotion.
And had I waited until... It was time for the closing prayer. I probably would have been able to be very tactful and eloquent.
Who cares? It's your testimony. It doesn't have to be tactful and elegant. You say it, and then you're done.
Well, I want my testimony to... Okay,
sure. But if
Moving
you
on.
Feel it, you mo- you mm-hmm. feel it, you say it, you move on.
I was feeling it.
Yeah. Oh, I felt it.
I was feeling it.
All right, let's do some new stuff and wrap this sucker out, shall we? Ron Howard. You know Ron Howard.
I do.
Yeah, Andy Griffith's show.
Yes. Uh-huh. Nice try. Yes. We get the
You know
idea.
The guy who whistled the Andy Griffith show from
yeah.
Ohio, served in our mission, or
I,
lived in our mission? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But
He's
not
a professional
surprised.
Whistler. That's aside from the point.
Akron?
I can't remember.
Seems like everything happens in Akron.
Ron Howard is to direct Under the Banner of Heaven.
Really?
An adaptation
oh,
of John Krakauer's 2003 book. It brings together two stories, the violent early history of the LDS Church and the 1984 double murder of Brenda Lafferty and her baby daughter, Erica. So,
it's kind of concerning a
so,
little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
Ron Howard certainly does a great job. We'll see. I mean, anytime you take anything and adapt it for Hollywood, you kind of go, where's the accuracy? Stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. But... that's pretty exciting. Ron Howard set to direct Under the Banner of Heaven. The script is being written by Dustin Lance Black, an Oscar winner for the movie Milk, and once a writer for HBO's Big Love. Dustin Lance Black is an ex-Mormon who recently completed a play called 8 about Completed a play, 8, about the legal battle over the LDS-backed anti-gay marriage ballot measure in California. So maybe that's someone we could get on the show in the future, too. Dustin Lance Black, under the banner of heaven.
Interesting. Interesting.
What do you got?
Well, I follow the LDS Newsroom on Twitter, and I actually would recommend anyone that is on Twitter to do that.
How, where do you find them?
Stuff comes out. At LDS Newsroom. One word. Video that the church has come out with, I think it's great. It features an interfaith young adults discussing the challenge to stay sexually pure. It says, like many people in other faiths, member of the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, believe in abstinence from sex before marriage and complete fidelity and loyalty to one spouse after marriage. In this vein, the church recently released an interfaith Mormon message about the challenge youth face to stay sexually pure. This is what I love. The video features a Buddhist, a Catholic, a Lutheran, a Muslim, and a non-denominational Christian, and of course a Mormon, each of who speak candidly about why he or she chooses not to engage in sexual relations before marriage. Claire, who's a Lutheran, says, when people say that young adults can't control their sexual urges, to me that's actually rather offensive, that I can't control myself because I know I can. So you can go online and actually watch this video. And the church put it out, and it has youth from multiple different faiths, not just LDS.
Yeah, you'll be able to find it on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. That's The Cultural Hall. If you search that on Facebook, you'll be able to find it. We'll leave that as a link so you can check it out.
That was a great idea by the church. Great project.
That's awesome. I haven't seen it yet, so I'll have to check that out as soon as we get done doing this.
Yeah, really neat.
Where do I want to go from here? Mitt Romney. Let's talk a little bit about this. Mitt Romney's Mormonism, a huge media talking point leading up to the Republican primaries. Probably not as big of an issue as they thought, as it was. Certainly not as big as it was in 2008.
Yes. Yeah.
Only 4 in 10 people said that Romney is a Mormon in a recent survey.
1 in 4.
Yeah, 4 in 10. Only 4 in 10. So the idea being survey was, Mitt Romney, is he a Mormon? And people said, 4 out of 10 people are like, yeah, Mitt Romney is Mormon.
Did they forget from 2008? Because everyone seemed to remember.
Yeah.
Everyone seemed to know it in 2008.
Or didn't care in 2008 and
maybe
have continued to still
too.
Not care. But apparently they probably missed that Newsweek article about Mitt Romney, which I've got.
The one awesome. Being on the cover?
On the cover, yeah. Big cover story with mm-hmm. Mitt Romney. In the survey, 46% of people admitted they didn't know his religion, and 10% guessed Protestant or Catholic. So I can only imagine how this goes. They're looking at him going, let's see. He's white, so okay. Clean cut. Protestant. Is he Protestant? No. Catholic. Is he Catholic?
Looks pretty classic. Looks
how many kids does he have?
Catholic, yeah.
So Mormon. And President Barack Obama's religion is also still a mystery to a lot of Americans as well. 40% said they didn't know. 18% guessed Muslim. And about a quarter said he was Protestant. Ding, 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 ding. He is a Protestant person. So
a Protestant person.
A Protestant man.
Okay.
A Protestant guy.
Like
a Protestant
Mormon
president.
Persons.
A woman person.
You're a Mormon person.
What do you want from me? He's Protestant. There. Is that what you wanted?
Yes.
So less than an impact, less of an impact, more of a talking point, it seems like. Huh. Oh, you're Mormon. Not that it matters, but you're Mormon.
Or is it that religion just doesn't seem to matter as much in, I don't know, 2012, 2008, it mattered.
You're saying that people are less religious? Is that what you mean than 4
I
years
don't know.
Ago?
Or maybe it's I think people were more prejudiced of religions.
Nah, you think back they were
in the
back
last
then?
Election? Well, I mean, it was such a big deal that Mitt Romney, it was such a big deal that he was Mormon in the 2008 elections. And so for the news, you know, for the media to say it doesn't matter in 2012, obviously people are not caring as much what religion people are. We're not putting as much importance on it.
Yeah.
Where would you go with that?
I think what it is that the barrier was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney, Mormon, running for president, right? So it's like, oh my gosh, it's this Mormon and he's running for president. And that hasn't happened for a long time. And isn't this insane? And so it was a big time first deal. But then you look in the last 4 years of what's happened. You got Harry Reid being, mm-hmm. Speaker of the – suck. Why can't I remember?
Speaker
anyway, Harry Reid from Nevada. And then you've got, John Huntsman being another person within the presidential race.
Uh-huh.
But then you got people like Jimmer Fredette. You got people that are just being known, and then you have the Mormon musical. So it's almost
Mormons
as if
– Mormons are hip. Or maybe we've lost
The novelty.
The novelty.
The novelty of, oh, hey, well, Mormon, what is that?
Or the exactly? phobia of what it is a little bit, thinking, you know, we're so far out, maybe realizing we're not. Perhaps. Yeah.
So then I just got two other things. Do you have any more? Anything else you want to share?
Well, you first.
I'll share one, then you can share one too. Out in... Nope, you know what? I don't want to share that. That one is not relevant
well,
and
then
not
I'll go
entertaining.
Ahead and share something real quick while you get to the other one.
Okay.
I liked this. It was entertaining. It was. They even had it in the Deseret News. But the Church Public Affairs Managing Director, Mike Otterson, challenges those who use the word cult to categorize members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
You're a cult!
So somebody came out and said, they got on Google. Who was it? Let me look here. The British Independent cited an article, and it said a journalist Googled Mormon and cult and pointed out that 2.7 million hits somehow came up when you put in Mormon and cult together to prove that Mormonism is actually a cult. So Otterson goes on to say, well, if you put in Methodist and cult, 4.3 million hits come up. If you put up, you know, it goes on, and then this is my favorite. It says, if you put in poodles and cult, millions of results do as well. So here's my less than profound conclusion. Google indexes a lot of pages, or that something sinister is going on with poodles.
Yeah, it's the poodles. Got a cult of poodles down the street.
I think I might.
In my neighborhood, it's Shelties.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My Sheltie can't fit in with all the rest of them.
In my neighborhood, it's just miniature everything. Whatever's mini and it, mini.
It's a miniature Great Dane. It's a mini Dane.
Kind of. It's kind of like the hip thing.
To take a perfectly good normal-sized
and
dog and shrink it down?
Yeah, and then take five runts and, you know, five generations of runts and then just make it as little as you can where its eyes are just like poking out of its
head. I was a runt and my daddy was a runt. Actually, it'd be more like... Burr, 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 burr. Dogs speaking?
Oh, Scooby-Doo.
No?
I got it.
Eh, it doesn't have to be Scooby. It was just a dog. Okay. That didn't go where I wanted it to. I was trying to adapt your dog. Sports Illustrated.
What?
I don't know. I'm just changing the subject now. I'm sorry. A highly recruited junior from Chicago is the subject of the Sports Illustrated article that addresses his Mormon faith. And a Kentucky baseball player has decided to put his career on hold to serve a mission. Jabari Parker, a 6'8", 220-pound junior
wow.
at Chicago Simeon High, is one of the top basketball prospects in the country. Davis, who wrote this article, Davis writes that before Parker plays a basketball game, he sits by himself in the locker room for a couple minutes of prayer and reflection. I pray that God keeps me safe. This is Parker speaking. I pray that God keeps me safe on the floor and that I'm able to have a good attitude toward my teammates, he says. When the game ends, Parker heeds that higher calling by rushing to be first in line to shake hands. I just want to show the opponents that I'm grateful, he says. I want to show good sportsmanship. Although a junior one college recruiter is comparing Parker to NBA star Grant Hill in terms of his body and style of play, except Jabari is a better shooter. So that's a pretty big compliment for sure. And then... Dallin Reber, a baseball player at the University of Kentucky, leaves Wednesday. So he left last Wednesday for a 2-year mission to Santiago, Chile. Reber's decision to serve a mission was the subject of an article by James Pennington on catspaws.com. All this will be, of course, available at the Cultural Hall on Facebook. Reber was raised in a Mormon family in St. George, Utah, and his father and brothers all served missions. His family did not force him to serve a mission, and at age 19, when most LDS men file paperwork to serve, he moved to Kentucky to play baseball. Reber struggled internally with the decision to go on a mission during his freshman year, and at one point called his father to say he would not serve. Dear Dad, I'm not going. Click. Once I told my dad I wasn't going to go, I couldn't stop thinking about it, Reber told Pennington. I just couldn't keep denying it. I felt like I had to go, but I didn't want to accept it. So I kept denying it, and it got to a point where I couldn't feel I couldn't deny it anymore. Then he called his dad back and said, about the phone call earlier.
I'm going
to go. And then he got called to serve in Chile. when asked about his baseball skills. He says, it's hard to know right now with me being away from baseball, but it was important to me to be able to prepare and to be ready to go to the mission, he said. That was important to me. Even now, I haven't regretted the decision, but there are a lot of times that I obviously miss being around the game. So he'll get back to it, I'm sure, when he gets back. So way to go, those
more
guys.
The movement moves on.
Like, well, the movement?
Great. Well, the fact that it was in Sports Illustrated, you know, talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the Mormon movement, you're going to have a bunch of conspiracy theorists after us. It's a Mormon movement.
I already do.
Really?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. All right. So that'll do it for this week's edition of the Cultural Hall. Thank you so much for downloading us and share it with your friends. And keep going to theculturalhallpodcast.com to see those developments as they occur now quicker. As I get my lawn in yesterday, I've got a little more time.
And
it's coming. It's coming, okay? It's coming.
I didn't say anything.
People are going to be just amazed because these episodes will come so quick at first because I'll be able to do a bunch and then we'll have to do them once a week in the future. So
Yeah.
Wait, how did we decide we were going to wrap this out?
How did we decide? It was that theme song you'd figured out in your the whistling and the No, it's more like until next week.
Wasn't it Have a Blessed Day?
Have a Blessed Day. Was that?
Yeah, let's do that. Have a Blessed Day.
I'll think of something better next
week. I can't remember.
But yes, Have a Blessed Day.